Hangar on Art is a radio program that investigates, experiments, inquires into art practices and critical theory as an extension to the Hangar Exhibitions, Residencies, Education and Research Program. The program sets a dialogue of a wide range of relationships which are established between artists, theorists, curators and researchers. Hangar on Art will feature thoughtful reflections, creative interventions, and thematic analysis.
Our Spatial Stories Live in Performative Futures is an exhibition curated by Cindy Sissoko and Fabian Bijegas, taking place from February 22nd to March 19th, 2022 at Hangar in Lisbon. Today, they join us on Hangar Radio to share their insights from the creation of this pedagogical project and to take us deeper into their curatorial and research practice. Cindy Sissoko is a cultural producer, curator, and writer from the suburbs of Paris, currently based in the UK. Her work focuses on the intellectual, political, and artistic aspect of decoloniality in arts and culture. Her curatorial work is centered on a practice of disobedience that runs contrary to hegemonic discourse and neoliberal institutional policies through collaborative practices, writing, and pedagogical tools. Cindy works as a curator and producer of special projects at the New Art Exchange in Nottingham in the United Kingdom. Fabian Bijegas is a writer, journalist, spoken word artist, and researcher of Southern epistemologies, decolonial thought, and racial studies. Born in Mexico and currently living in the Dominican Republic, Fabian has lectured at conferences and taught workshops at universities, cultural centres, and biennales around the world, and is the co-founder of Contra Narratives, a collaborative project that seeks to create horizontal spaces for the production of knowledge with a focus on decolonial narratives and aesthetics of the global South. Thank you, Cindy and Fabian, for speaking with us today. I think we could begin by you telling us a little bit about how you came to develop this project, Our Spatial Stories Live in Performative Futures.
So we have started this project as a continuity to some workshops that we have done with a group of young artists that are directly associated with Hangar. There are 8 artists, and they all have a photography practice and also performance, video, and they very much kind of created a bit of a collective under Hangar, under the education program. So our work with them was through that workshop, How to Articulate a Collective Gaze. And this workshop took place in June 2021, which was very much a bit of like a critical reading of photography and focusing on this idea of citizenship around photography, but also colonial representation within photography, as well as this idea of future, this idea of fictionalizing narratives, dismantling colonial representation and paradigms within that medium, which hold a very strong kind of like legacy in terms of image making, image producing in relation to race specifically. So this workshop was around like 3 different sessions and very much created connections with them, initial conversations as well, as we dived into more like pedagogical sessions and then followed on with more like kind of sharing around the practice. So creating more like links with what they're actually producing today, the meaning of that, and in relation to the kind of more like ideas around coloniality within photography. So a very pedagogical project, which kind of moved into more like an exhibition project. And it was not necessarily like directly related with that, but it was a way to also frame the practice within like what our interests were in some ways too. And we decided to work around the theme of the urban, around the kind of like spatiality in relation to coloniality as well. So in Lisbon and beyond, in relation to their work, in relation to how they were performing through photography as well, how their colonial subjectivities were kind of unfolding. And we came with the exhibition.
Thank you, Cindy. That's really, I'm really curious about the process actually with that, about how you worked with these artists and whether they had existing practices that related to these themes or whether the workshops were around sharing your pedagogy and then employing those processes specifically.
Mm-hmm. So they are artists, practicing artists, and they are incredible. They all have their own practice and at different levels, let's say, of education, whether we want to relate even to this idea of art school or anything like this, or fully kind of self-taught practices as well. So they are artists and very much practicing. And that's why it was very special in terms of this idea of pedagogical spaces as well, because they are bringing the artistic practice, and the artistic practice becomes in some ways like a theory, you know, each of them bringing their own kind of framework, their own processes of producing as well.
But if I'm hearing you correctly, it's that these workshops were a space for, I guess, for their practices to or their pedagogies to be visibilized and to be theorized and sort of validated, which I think is actually really powerful, because this is one of the main issues that we face, is that practice is validated by the institution, and it's provided that legitimacy before it can graduate into these sort of these mainstream spaces. So in that sense, did you feel like there was hesitation towards being able to visibilize these practices by the artists, or do you feel like did they already come with a sense of empowerment in the Lisbon scene?
I think they all have like kind of different journeys, let's say, and that was a really interesting kind of dynamic as well, kind of artists that have already exhibited or that went through art school, for example, or that were very much practicing within the streets and through street photographies, you know, kind of capturing friends or, you know, group of people that they were kind of connecting with, or architectural details, let's say. So their practice very much is ranging from that kind of more institutional exhibition based, or very much for like for themselves, or not necessarily been shown before as well. So it was really nice to kind of see not the evolution, but to see how they all kind of interacted with each other as well. So it's a really beautiful group, and we connected very deeply with them, especially as we came to Lisbon as well and worked on this exhibition too, and creating a narrative that connects them, you know, without this idea of let's say like a artistic journey within that, but very much about what they have to say and and how we present that and how we create a narrative that is a collective narrative within their practice or with their practice. So yeah, that was a very enriching, and I think on both sides as well.
As you're speaking, I'm reminded of some of the points that both you and Fabian made in your talk entitled Anti-Colonial Cartographies Reimagined the Visual Narrative. And the discussion that we had around the power of South-to-South dialogue. So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more, maybe Fabian, you want to speak to this as well, in your previous work and in this work, what is that power of the South-to-South dialogue, and how you see it generate change or generate impact?
Yeah, I mean, in reference to... I think that the exhibition, it was a good example, you know, like to create this possibility of a South-South dialogue. I think that, as you mentioned, you know, like in the talk, we were starting the conversation, addressing the conversation just a little bit, thinking about, you know, like the type of simulations, you know, that abound, you know, like that maybe in the contemporary discourses, narratives, you know, around like the South-South dialogues. No, I think that we say like, not only even in the art field, I think that in general, in the cultural field, you know, I think that is more now like the South-South dialogue, like, as we say, you know, like a curatorial cliche, you know, even, I saw a lot of institutions, a lot of activities, a lot of initiatives that, are moving through that, apparently, like folks and narratives, but are totally built, even if they are like built in institutions that are basically primarily rooted on erasing and silencing, you know, of racialized epistemologies or racialized folks or racialized bodies, you know. So I think that when we start the collaboration in the relation to this exhibition and before, you know, as in the workshop, I think that was an idea. We came from different fields. We came definitely from different perspectives, from different contexts, you know, and I think that the approaches are totally different in relation to IMAGE. Even the approaches are different. Are totally different in relation to what we understand about the colonial narratives or the idea of dismantled colonial representations. You know, for example, like when we made ensemble in that moment, the idea was, for example, like articulate something that was coming more like, for example, from the artistic field. And something that came more like, for example, from the journalistic field, you know? So I think that I found like really interesting and really pedagogical, you know, like how the image like allow us to build like pedagogical and political like encounter. For example, you know, I remember like one of the exercises we made, you know, with the participants was in relation to context that usually maybe they don't have like a lot of connection, you know, like for example, as we mentioned in the talk, you know, like Haiti, or maybe, in general, like the Caribbean, you know, or maybe like even, for example, like context, for example, of conflict context, you know, like, or even we talk about migration, how, for example, like the media creates like a colonial narration around like migration, you know, this idea of migratory crisis that is like totally a colonial narrative, you know what I mean? Like, so I think that was like really, 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 really important to do that in the possibility to build a South-South dialogue. Definitely like understand, first of all, like how, even if we are coming from the South, even if we are like coming from different like approaches and perspectives, you know, definitely the way the way we communicate, the dialogue is totally rooted. Sometimes we can escape sometimes to that trap, you know, like we can escape sometimes to that possibility to reproduce, you know, like the colonial representation or the colonial fantasy, you know. So I think that first of all, that was like the beginning, you know, like, okay, how we can dismantle, how we can create like certain type of disruption. But at the same time, I think that was something we built together, not only a disruption, I think that how we can understand, how can we visualize a possibility for another language, for another aesthetic, you know, like for another, like for a place of knowledge that is not only like a reactive, you feel me? It's like more like how we can create like other like a symbolic orders, how we can like imagine like other metaphors, you know. So then was when we start to think about like fictions, you know. I think a lot about like fictions, you know, like I think that maybe recently there are like a lot of work that embrace the idea of fiction, you know. But I think definitely, and this is really related for the context, for example, in Latin America, like how fictions, like through literature, you know, like through aesthetics, you know, like through language even, you know, like allows us the possibility like to understand like different temporalities, you know, like different spatialities, you know, like that at the same time like articulates, you know, like this idea of the systems of interdependence, you know, like ancestrality, memory, you know, like an ambition, like another possibility. So I think that through this idea of fiction, first of all, fiction as a pedagogical tool, fiction as a possibility to connect like social theory, you know, and fiction as a possibility to understand like a different, how can I say, like different ideas and representations about like shared memory, even if you come like from, you know, like Guinea-Bissau, or even if you come like, for example, from Papua Nueva Guinea, or even you come from Guatemala, I think that we can create like something, you know, so yeah, I think that was like really, really, really good, like really, really productive and really refreshing, I think so.
That was a really rich response, actually, and I think it speaks to a lot of the issues that different people working in decoloniality are wanting to confront, which is how do we start to decolonize when we're carrying so many of these lenses and these ideas of self-identification that come from the colonial narratives. So I'm curious, was there particular exercises that you put in place to engage with that disruption? Was it more of an open conversation? How did you approach it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was something that shows or reflects the collaboration between like Cindy and me. For example, I would maybe talk about like my exercise just a little bit, and Cindy could talk around her exercise. For example, in my case, I was it was totally deliberative, like the deliberative decision. I mean, and I think that is in relation or responding to your question. For me, it was like really necessary, for example, to create, as I mentioned, like, first of all, like a certain type of, like a counter narrative of how, for example, like particularly like social media, you know, or even like journalism, and not only like traditional journalism, even like non-hegemonic journalism relates, have a narration to certain type of political context, you know, and that was something that I found like really important. The problem of the narration was not only circumstance, you know, it's engaged, you know, with historical, you know, like technological narrations about like racialized bodies, you know. So that was why I was like definitely like understanding or putting as an exercise, for example, the case of Haiti, you know. I use the case of Haiti, you know, particularly because I live in the Dominican Republic, you know. Dominican Republic shared the same island with Haiti, you know. And in Latin America, it's permanently, you know, like a narrative, you know, like of migratory and crisis with Haiti, you know, that is permanently, as we say, like in the talk, permanently like naturalized, you know, like the media like understand the Haitian crisis more as an ontological condition, you know, not as a crisis that is definitely like linked, you know, with colonial legacies, you know, with like historical process of underdevelopment, you know, in which not only, in fact, that's the funny thing, not only European or Occidental countries are involved, even like Latin American countries are involved, like doing like a sub-imperialism, you know? So it's interesting like how these things. So I try to link, like, for example, this idea of Haiti, and I link it with Dominican Republic too, you know, like on purpose, you know, because sometimes I mean, I'm not going to talk about the conflicts between Haiti and the Dominican Republic because it's a long thing, but I want to, for example, like to talk about the ideological problems around landscape, you know. I think that sometimes through IMASH we don't necessarily have a deep reflection about the ideological and the colonial like imaginaries around landscape, and how definitely those imaginaries are not innocent, are not only symbolic representation. It's more like a how symbolic representations and how imaginaries are totally produced like social effects, produced like materiality, produced like vectors of oppression, you know? So for me, it was like really important to get, I mean, I get into the idea of landscape too, you know, because recently I was like more involved in issues related with urbanism and with the environment, you know? But in that like anti-colonial frame, you know? So I think that, yeah, it was totally a deliberative decision. And for me, the pedagogical and political encounter was exactly when maybe people from a different context, totally different context, for example, because we made this workshop in the beginning, for example, for a photography festival in France through a Moroccan curatorial project. So people from different contexts starts like open a conversation or like activates a reflection with their true Haiti around their own context, you know, for example, in the mm-hmm. context of Morocco. So I think that that's really important for the dialogue.
And I guess what I can add to that, and which is kind of at the core of our collaboration too, is this kind of artistic lens that comes into that realization, into as a space to deconstruct as well, visually. And very much, you know, connecting directly with a more kind of political, theoretical field within that. So the artistic practice being a space, you know, that creates possibilities, that creates new narratives as well in a very kind of tangible and intangible way as well. So through the workshops, but also through people's practices and how they kind of rearticulate, you know, certain colonial paradigms and representations themselves. So I think we can see a lot today as well, like artistic practices that very much reconfigurates, but also reproduces a lot of that kind of colonial representations, or that tend to disrupt it as well. But we very much like lost within be like an opaque, you know, kind of environment with that in the visual kind of world, let's say, artistic, contemporary art world specifically. And I guess photography was a medium in which was very key in the articulation, the kind of image making, the production of it, knowing that today we are constantly like contaminated by it, overwhelmed by it. So contemporary art photography specifically allowed to create different narratives, to even control almost and manipulate that narrative because of the artist's agency, because of how we can really play with it. So it's kind of creating a bit of a distinction as well with this idea of media and photojournalism, which comes sometimes with a very specific narrative and a very specific lens, editorial lens even sometimes. For example, poverty, like porn photographies or other, you know, kind of representation of what we can see of the South, for example. And I think it could be interesting to also maybe define a little bit more what we mean by South to South dialogue, maybe afterwards. But yeah, photography being really like a center for that. And personally, something that is maybe like the medium that is the most powerful in terms of articulating new narrative, in terms of articulating new spaces to imagine also and kind of gather around that, create conversations, theorize around it, and I guess see the world through it as well, creating new spaces, creating new conversation, new encounters as well. And if we refer back to the initial workshop that we worked on, Tina Kamp was a very big inspiration, for example, and she has been writing around photography for several years now and very much focuses on that medium as kind of creating new methodologies as well of seeing and trying to theorize new ways of kind of encountering those materials. She recently wrote A Black Gaze, but also previous writing, which are very relevant, were Archive Matters, and listening to images. And listening to images specifically was quite important in as she posed a really key question at the beginning of that book, which is how do we create an archive, you know, that kind of relates and gives justice to the, she says it in those words, the recalcitrant and the disaffected kind of histories and narrative around, you know, the African diaspora specifically, but we can kind of broaden that beyond that realm. But this kind of key question allowed her to develop also tools to listen to images, to really kind of deconstruct context of images, to give and have more like as individual, but also collectively, like the tools, developing the tools to be responsible as we see the photograph, as we listen to the histories that really make it, to its production, to the details within it. And it's really interesting. It's a whole kind of resource in itself. And I guess she's doing a work that I really appreciate and that I really admire in that sense, is that she creates and she gathers us to think differently through that medium. And I guess we can apply that to many other spaces. You know, it could be with music as well, sound, how we encounter that. And I guess listening to images also has that sonic element of, as she also talks about, connecting very much with the Black Atlantic, the cultural formations that come from that, with sound, through sounds. So yeah, it's really incredible how, you know, we can really create those new framework to see, to encounter, to create, specifically with the visual. And the artistic practices have such a powerful space and possibility with that to really change, if we can, yeah, change maybe is for lack of a better word. It's not just about changing, but it's really creating new from that, I think.
Yes. Yes, I mean, it can also be about influencing or thinking through together and sharing the questions together. Something that stands out to me about what you're talking about is it sounds quite interdisciplinary as well, both the project that in the workshops that you conducted and the project you're speaking about that you participated in. And I'm curious about how much interdisciplinarity brought to the project, if that was something that was conscious or if it just happened due to the types of different people that were interested. But I would also like to revisit how you wanted to define the South-to-South dialogue. And let's delve into that a little bit, because I think you're right, Fabian, that it is also part of a cliché. Mm-hmm. And on that, I'd like to mark that these projects happened in a non-institutional environment, or at least not in a single institution. And so there's an interesting subversion that needs to happen in these projects. And I'm curious, yes, so the South-to-South dialogue and the context of where that happened and how.
I posed that question, but it's so difficult to answer it. But I'm just, yeah, really curious always to think, actually, we keep using this, we keep referring to it, and we understand it, you know, not necessarily just as a kind of geographical space, but very much, you know, as a political space, as a space of enunciation, as a space to kind of encounter, you know, each other through like a specifically like racialized, kind of marginalized perspective as well. But it's like, yeah, it's really difficult to say, okay, South-to-South dialogue is exactly this. I think it comes out as something that way more organic. I mean, if we think into it as a, if we think into it as a kind of geographical spaces, you know, people, I mean, at least in my context, they understand it within institutions or not. They understand it as, you know, collaboration between, I don't know, the African continent and Latin America or the Caribbean. But it's, yeah, it's way more complex than this. It comes more with a kind of idea of, maybe I would say that, maybe a kind of idea of like struggle, let's say, or that is like completely away from Western-centric ideas as well. It's more like, it's a dialogue that really comes out of that space, you know, this kind of colonial, Western-centric, narrative maybe.
How do you think of it, Fabian?
Yeah, I mean, it's as you say, you know, I mean, like, I think that we have like different ways to understanding, and I think that in that sense, maybe like certain enunciations or maybe like certain narratives could be problematic, you know, because I think that, yeah, definitely, I totally agree with the idea that, yeah, I mean, I think that the first way to understand the South-South dialogue is like to build like a possibility of, you know, of knowledge production, you know, like of imagine like a dispute of aesthetics, you know, like imaginary like narrative, you know, like that are out from the Western, you know, like occidentalocentric field or gaze, you know, but I think that is not enough, you know, because if we only go into that space, we get into the, how can I say, like this, like a simulation, you know, or illusion of contemporaneity that is basically primarily like the illusion of the contemporary art. It's like we are in the same space talking about like a South-South dialogue, you know what I mean? Like, but if we go out, or we don't need to go out. If I go with my family, if I go with my grandmother or my mother, I'm the first generation of people to go to university in my family. If I go to there and I talk about South-South dialogue, they will say like, what you're saying, what does it mean, you know what I mean? So I think that I found it in a general way like that, you know, but I think that I understand it more as a possibility to build collectively, you know, like to engage like a community organization process, you know, like I understand more as a political and an emancipatory process, you know. That as I think that that is linked definitely like with struggle, with certain type of shared struggle, you know, like for example, if I understand it more as a practice, you know, for example, and that was something that we addressed like in the talk, you know, like for example, when we went in Morocco for a pedagogical project, you know, for example, recently. We were working a lot related with a colonial environment, you know, or what we call like a colonial ecosystems, you know. So through that project that we were developing in November, I was like trying to map or to create like a cartography of certain type of colonial environments, you know, like that are like totally a lot, you know, like I mean, I'm saying a lot totally different and heteronomous, in the sense that they are like you can find it like in urban spaces, you know, but you can find in rural spaces, you can find in a different way. So for example, when we're in Morocco, we met like a project that works directly with water in Morocco, you know. So through that thing, we start to create a conversation. And it was really funny because, for example, it was when I talked with a person that was developing that project in Morocco related with water, you know, she was saying, like, I don't have, like, any idea about, like, a extractive process, you know, for example, in the context of Latin America. And I was saying, like, yeah, if I'm really super honest, I didn't have, like, any idea about, like, the conflict of water in the context of Marrakesh, you know? So through that idea, we start to create a conversation, you know, like, and we start to link, like, different reflections about, like, shared struggle, about, like, this idea of codification of cultural ecosystem, of codification of memory, you know? So that's what I found definitely the idea of the Salsa dialogue, not only as an ideological thing, because if we only through ideological things, that's something that is like reduced to academia, no, to academic discussions. It's more like how to go through academia or move out academia or transcend academia, and as we say, like in the conversation, like activating like spaces of memory, activating spaces of knowledge. You know, like maybe in spaces or that are not traditionally legitimized space of knowledge, are not a traditional legitimized space of memory. So I think that I moved to the idea of, for example, now, maybe more like to the idea of memory, more to the idea of imagination, more to the idea like encoding like cultural systems that we have. If we start to talk about like your experience and my experience and the experience of Cindy, we have like a lot of things related with memory, related with, you know, like... yeah, like certain types of even with this idea of the Caribbean, you know, like this idea of the corpopolitik, you know, that's what I was trying in the beginning to understand. It's South-South is not a postal code, you know, it's more like a geopolitik, it's more like a cartographic of itself. It's like corpopolitik, you know, it's a place of enunciation, you know, but we can still like reproducing like the ideas of South-South dialogues if we don't like visualize, you know, like reality, materiality, you know, and how definitely in which type of field we are like talking, you know. So yeah, I think that it's more complex, definitely, you know. But I found it more like in the practice, you know, and how definitely the practice can definitely be transformative, you know, in order to share struggles, in order to memory, in order to cultural ecosystems, you know. So, and I think that there are like a lot of examples around that. That's the thing. It's not only a fantasy. There are really like good examples about these sorts of dialogues.
I think something really interesting in what you're speaking about is the idea that the process is more important, or is the process is the practice, and the process is more important than the actual the hierarchies or the fixed environment of what constitutes a South-South dialogue or what constitutes a decolonial practice. And it is interesting to me that these are conversations that are happening in spaces that are not mediated within the institution, and therefore maybe have space for you to come together with someone else and verify whether you think something is true or not, whether you have this, whether this knowledge that you're sharing is actually your own or where it's come from, and to have these types of discussions in an environment where you are not judged for that, and you are where that doesn't, there isn't an assumption that there are these things that you should know or that the official narrative is what is a sort of objective truth. So I think there's something really powerful in that discussion. But what it also makes me think of, and what I thought of looking at the exhibition, was whether people who haven't been part of that, like, do you think that people who haven't been part of that process have the literacy to understand the output? Do they have the capacity, if they haven't gone through these types of environments, to really understand the power of what you create? Or is the power really more in the generative space of community practice and of creation itself? So I'm just looking at that tension between the final product, which still comes out in a white cube, you know, in some cases it still is reinserted into these hegemonic spaces. And so possibly the audience doesn't have these ideas behind them, and they haven't been transformed by these processes. So how do you sit with that that tension? Do you think that the audience needs to go through some training to understand it?
That's a really interesting question. And I guess this is like an everyday struggle, let's say, in when working with an institution, when doing that sort of project, is how do you convey the ideas that are at the core of the projects or the core of the works that you're seeing into the space for like an audience? And I guess there's like a bit of like a liminal space within that where actually there doesn't need to also have all of the kind of interpretation or all of the kind of tools present in the space to understand or to connect with.
I mean, I think that you mentioned that something that is like really powerful. And I think that at some point, I think that you reply your question. You know, I think that I found like really important the dynamic or that we're like activating in the space. Like, for example, in the opening of the exhibition, you know, for example. And it's maybe really related with my experience, you know, like, and I think that we discussed that like maybe more than five people like during the opening, you know. It's like, it's not really common to see like a lot of black and brown communities, you know, like sometimes in exhibitions, you know, like sometimes we are like in a lot of institutions that reproducing like, you know, like maybe like non-white discourses. But at the end, you know, like in the way administrations or in the way like the people come, you see the absence permanently of the community, you know, the community or the black and brown community that came, you know. So I think that on Friday we saw like a lot of black and brown community like came into the space, you know, like and having like good conversations, you know. Obviously, we understand like the internal limits, you know, of the art field or the academic field, you know, like we will be like super happy to have like all the people from the Sintra line like coming to the space, you know, and it makes a lot of sense, you know. But we understand that the limits, you know, like maybe we're like in a cultural artistic space, you know. But I think that I don't necessarily because that's a conversation that we have, like maybe like Latin America, true, you know, like I think that, yeah, definitely we need to put like some words in a different way or to connect in a different way, you know, like but I think that the people, even if I don't know if the people have disposable like concepts, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, you know, because I don't know a lot of the people, you know. But I think that definitely people get engaged. And I think that we on purpose, we didn't want to make like a super like a ideological or theoretical, like since the beginning, you know, like exhibition. You want to make like something like more intimate, you know, like more like self-cartographic, you know, like a more, like self-cartographic, like first narrative, first person, you know, like an intimate and like essential like exhibition that obviously related with big frames around like diasporic itineraries, like urban spaces, race and spatiality, you know, like third space and concept like that. But I think, I say it as in my experience, for example, you know, like I think that sometimes we don't need to understand like a lot of theories. That's not key for nothing. That doesn't make any sense. Sometimes like concepts or words, you know, are important to be like metaphors of affection, you know, like empowerment. And even if we didn't understand like properly, you know, give us like certain type of confidence to feel comfortable in a space, you know, or to inhabitate like spaces. So that's what I feel, you know, like I grew up like that, you know, like maybe I didn't understand like a lot of things, you know, and that's the thing. That's a way to disrupt like the, you know, like a colonial tradition of knowledge production. We need to understand like words, you know, or concepts as metaphors that give us like care, give us love, give us like a confidence to how we are going to inhabitate space and definitely like producing like other ways of imagination. So yeah.
And I guess to carry on with that thought as well, this question of an idea around accessibility and the mediation between, you know, what is actually presented, the kind of cultural offer, let's say, and the audience's like a never-ending kind of discourse in terms of how do we create spaces that truly reflect also of the people that we want to reach or of the narrative that we want to convey or even how the kind of exhibition space, for example, in this specific case, becomes also like a tool, a resource in itself, where actually this idea of being in the space is not necessarily bound to how much you understand and how much you connect with, but more in terms of what do you make of it. And I guess one of the idea with Fabian, as we work with the artists in how to connect everyone's practices in a way that could be relevant as well for Lisbon, was to work with the space, to work with the kind of like a spatial politics that takes place, which kind of relates to anyone really, which kind of bring a bit more of like a critical dialogue around that space as we look into the African diaspora, as we look into artistic practices and how they kind of articulating that. So I guess maybe the kind of exhibition framework becomes also maybe like a starting point, you know, a framework in itself to start, you know, reflection, to start a dialogue as well within a location, which is here in Lisbon. So this idea of, as you said, you know, this idea of understanding and not understanding is not necessary and not necessarily something that has to be like theorized, but more something that that is a bit more free in a way of who comes into the space and what do you make out of it. As you see also a room and that is filled with work that talks about, you know, the African diaspora as well, that talks about their subjectivities, that talks about their kind of own family narratives, which of related to migration, displacement, you know, exile, and creating spaces of intimacy around their work, around themselves too. So it's what do we make out of that? Who, and once again, to refer back to Tina Camp and listening to images, what are people actually doing in the space? As you come and take the responsibility to go to an exhibition as well, and there is a curatorial framework, let's say, what do you make of it? You know, how do you actually decide to also understand what's in the space, you know, in your own kind of means, in your own like kind of reflection as well? What do you, how do you take that outside into the world as well? So yeah, maybe that's a way to kind of bridge the two in how we understand actually the exhibition is already a tool in itself, but it's also understanding how maybe other programs relate to it, how this exhibition space, yeah, opens up a research for certain people, for example, who's working around that subject, who are the artists, you know, how are they representing that narrative around, you know, spatial politics here. And as I mentioned earlier as well, this idea of accessibility within spaces, who understand, who doesn't, how do we bridge the two, is another, I guess, another kind of conversation around institutions and museums and galleries being spaces that have this binary of inclusion and exclusion too. So we're working with that, obviously, as we work through an exhibition in a space, but I think we were quite lucky as well to work within a space like En Garde to create that, you know, dialogue. If we were to work, you know, with another kind of colonial museum, let's say, it would be a very different narrative. And I think we've experienced that we could actually reach and be connected with people that connects with what we're trying to do too in a space like En Garde. And this is also like for us as practitioners, how we decide who we want to work with too, and how we decide, you know, to the channels in which we convey those ideas, you know, and those practices and those efforts, those connections, which were like pretty deep, you know. So we, yeah, maybe there's like many different levels of that, of understanding, you know, how do you bridge, you know, this audience, the space, and what we're doing, and the art, the kind of complexity of the artistic practices and the works that you see in the space, as we see, you know, their production, as we see how they're installed, how we see like all of the efforts at every levels to be seen and translated for an audience. Hopefully people take the time to do that and take the time to dig into it, because it's very complex.
And only like in addition to what you say, I mean, like definitely, I mean, I think there are like different layers, you know, like when related to this, you know, like different layers that are, that involve obviously the communication and the communication or the relation we build with the artist, you know, like other layers, like the relation we have with the space, you know, that as we say, I think that was the first decision, you know, like to work with a space hangar. That for us, for me particularly in the context of Europe, and I think that we discussed, me and Cindy, that is unique, no? It's like really valuable, you know, like not only in Portugal. I think that it's valuable like in the region, not only in the region, in fact, because you can think in Latin America and you don't find necessarily like space like that, you know? I mean, like as, I mean, you know, I mean, they're not a lot. It's unique, I mean, in a lot of senses, you know, it's exceptional. So I think that there are like many layers. And I think that, for example, through not only the exhibition, even like, for example, through the program that is going to be like during the exhibition, you know, they're like going to create like another type of encounters, another type of dialogues, a political and pedagogical encounters, you know. So I don't think that exhibition is in itself, you know, like the finish, you know. Or, you know, I think that it's an open possibility, you know, so that it's going to come with a program. And definitely like... yeah, like this metaphor, no, of the like there are like more than 10 categories in between like understanding and not understanding, you know. I mean, it's like sometimes we only move it to that like binary of we understand, we do not understand. I think that there are like more than 10, then, you know. So I think that yeah, like how to we can open a possibility in different layers, you know, like through that exhibition. But I think that is going to come the program, as definitely we recently like talked with the artists, you know, like what this exhibition like allows to the artists, you know, like to feel or to create or to imagine or to articulate. So it's related to articulation too. And I think that other point that maybe we miss in the idea of the South-South dialogue is the possibility of articulation, you know, like inter-movement, like inter-knowledge, you know, articulation. So definitely.
Yeah, really good point.
So that leads me on to the final sort of question I wanted to ask, which is what you do see as the possibilities, or where does the end point that you can see these types of practices taking? And in the context of what you've just been discussing, does that take place within institutions? Does it take place within museums? Does it mean that there's an amplification of non-institutional spaces? Like, how do you see the landscape evolving from where you are, and where would you like to see it go? What's the wish list?
I mean, for me, it's very much articulating, to use that word again, because it's really key, I think, new spaces, so physical, non-physical, you know, platforms as well, that are very much hosting those dialogues. This is, for me, like really key, you know, to really kind of have the resources and the power and the agency to have those spaces, to create spaces like Angers, to create spaces like former La Colonie, Chiasma, that were in Paris, that were kind of not sustained and kind of had to close. But those spaces, I think, are really key. And hopefully, you know, we can find like the resources, we can find have the ability to create those. But I think it's an urgency to have those different hubs, let's say, that connects, you know, between themselves and beyond, but are really like, like almost like the kind of utopic vision of creating like, those dialogues, I guess. But I do feel, and to kind of relate to what we said yesterday in the talk, is that there's also somehow the possibility to create those hubs within spaces that are already existing. So Angers is one of them. But if we go more into like arts institutions or museums with their really heavy kind of colonial legacies, and also which brings today as well certain kind of management structures, certain ways of working, certain, you know, like collections even. There's many different elements within those spaces that really put... a bit of a break and obstacles to those ways of thinking, to the ways of dialoguing as well. And I guess the way that we want to work and are doing work, but it's just thinking those spaces could host certain, some of these elements in some ways, even though I do believe that they should not necessarily exist anymore. But yeah, I think to kind of sum up again my response, clearly it's more like creating new spaces, you know, digital or, you know, physical spaces, but also trying to find certain ways within or existing spaces to do so too. So yeah, once again, it's kind of coming together and imagining together and doing things together, practicing, transforming together is really key. So I guess the articulation of spaces around that is, yeah, another consideration.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I think that was something that we discussed on the talk. I mean, I don't think that we can move necessarily on this like binarism, like institutional and non-institutional spaces. You know, I think that it's like a transversal struggle, you know, like, and we need to understand like the tensions around that sometimes, you know, like how we move, we can like maintain like a political agency, you know, like, for example, like in institutionalized process, you know, like how we can like resist like a process of institutionalization, you know. And at the same time, how can through like independent spaces, through non-institutional spaces, we can definitely make a work that involves the community, you know, like articulates like other communities, you know, or the work that we do is definitely like transcendental and had definitely like an impact, you know. I think that I'm really like moving into that, you know. And I think that something that for me is like really relevant is like engaging with community. You know, I think that we can discuss like 4 hours about like Southern epistemologies, you know, but if we don't engage with the community, if the community is not a protagonist like in the process, you know, like our own communities, you know, definitely we're not doing an amazing and a great job, you know, like so I think that, yeah, I mean, I think that there are like a lot of experiences, as we mentioned in that talk, you know, I mean, like in Cuba, you know, like in Venezuela, in Morocco, you know, like in Brazil, you know, like in Portugal, in Mexico, like a lot of experiences, you know. I think that maybe for me, one of the things that I found it like more as a challenge now, you know, is like to create like certain type of observatory, you know, that creates like a cartography and creates like a, you know, like an articulation around that, because I think that projects exist a lot and works in a different way, in a different field, you know. So I think that sometimes we need, how can I say, like in this case, yes, like a translation, you know, like a common translation, you know, to communicate like the shared struggles, you know, and how can definitely we can understand in a more like pedagogical way, how can we, for example, like work together, build together, you know, like and create like an imagine together. So I think that it's more like that, like articulation, like inter-movements, like inter-knowledges, you know, and be like super, how can I say, not be innocent about like the trendy narratives that sometimes is like are totally like out of sense now, no, or out of emancipatory and revolutionary like sustance, you know, like it's like moving whatever type of paths, you know. So I think that is related with that, mm-hmm. you know? But there are like a lot of experiences, and I think the challenge is like to create articulation and create like a mm-hmm. like a cartography around that. I think that is really important.
Yeah, I mean, once again, it's this idea of mediation as well, you know, the kind of connection that are created, you know, whether we talk about the exhibition space and audience and what's happening in it, or, you know, it's within like different projects and different people and all of that. But yeah, maybe mediation is a good sum up of that as well.
And I think that related with this idea of critical mediation or counter-visuality, like even in the art spaces, is like visuality and critical mediation, but definitely like engage community, you know, because now you see like a lot of you know, like a critical museology, you know, that has like a lot of texts around like a critical mediation and counter visuality, but is not like entering to a dialogue to community, you know. So I think that we definitely like change the methodologies, you know, or maybe we need to erase methodology and rethink like how we definitely understand like pedagogical encounters, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Cindy, Fabian, thank you so much for your time today. This was really rich, and I think a lot of the people listening will get so much out of it. And thank you for your work. I hope that all of the imaginaries that we're dreaming up actually come into fruition.
Thank you so much.
Too. Thank you all the audience. Thank you, Angar, and yes. Thank you, Cindy, and thank everybody. Have a good time.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.